Hello everyone, this is Ronnie Romero and you are watching CMS TV.
Howdy.
And I'm tired. And
good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for watching.
We're done already. See ya.
That's it. It's another Monday. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm hanging in here, man. Busy. Taking a break from the real work to do the Seth work.
Do the fun work. This is the
That's
fun
right.
work.
This is the fun work. This is better than the other work, that's for sure.
We got Mark Ferrari coming up in a little bit.
That's fun.
My Cold Sweat, Keel, and I'm a big fan of the Wayne's World movies.
Crucial Threat. That's right.
If people don't remember, I'm going to ask him a question about Wayne's World.
Of course, why not? He also wrote like an industry standard book. Like
really?
He wrote a book that's like widely regarded as like one of the best in the industry, about the music industry. So Mark's an interesting guy.
Yeah. And I think he was rather attractive back in the day, which was, my wife and her sister big fans of.
Therefore, why your wife will watch.
Yeah, why do you always put like hot dudes on, like, or like guitar players or rock stars that were like hot back in the day that my wife and sister-in-law fell in love with and had the pictures on the walls and stuff.
Because I got news for you, Seth. There was only one John Popper. All the rest were hot.
Yeah.
Part of it.
No women ever found the lead singer Blues Traveler hot, so, I'm fucked.
That's right. I mean, who do you want me to book? Edwin McCain?
Yeah, like anybody that's like ugly, Although I guess it does help me out in the long run. If my wife is thinking about some hot guy at the end of the day, it doesn't end up like a bad night for Seth. So
yeah, I was gonna say, dude, does it just being in the music business makes you hot somehow? I bet you the guys from Guar get laid more than us.
Now, how is that possible? That like if you're in music, women just are flocking to you. If you're an athlete or you're in music, people just flock to you, no matter how ugly you are.
That's right. Well, the athlete part is simple. They're in great shape, and B, they're wealthy beyond any of our imagination.
Well, see, that's how I got my wife. Back in the day, started dating me, And she's always dating guys. One guy was like a wrestler. One guy was a musician. One guy was blah, 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 all these kind of guys. You know, all these dudes that were like, one guy had a badass motorcycle and all this stuff. And then there comes along Seth.
Right.
Now, everybody knows what Seth was like now. I am what I am. But
right.
I was in radio. I was doing morning show and overnights and all kind of different shifts. I was all over the website on MMS. And you know, my career was fantastic. I don't know what happened. I'm the only person that went, started my career high and just keeps going downward. But anyway, she met me back then and thought that I had lots of money, thought I was, you know, a radio guy, made a lot of cash. And I think she got with me because of that. Then she fell in love with the fact that I'm ridiculously handsome and funny. And you know, luckily I was able to snag her. But she thought in the beginning that I actually had a bunch of cash and, you know, was going to make something of my life.
Did she really think you had a lot of cash?
Yeah, because I played off well. I would always, one, I never took her to a bar where I didn't know somebody at the bar from working at the radio station. So everything was on the house anyways, but she didn't know right. that. It was just, you know, I'd walk in and, hey, what's going on? I'm Seth Barbarian, blah, blah, blah. And I'd walk out, you know, we'd walk in, do whatever we wanted to do, and walk out, and I didn't pay a nickel. She right. didn't know that, but I looked like a high roller.
Or you could walk in there and they'd be like, hey, Seth, what's up? And then that makes you look like you're a high roller.
Right, exactly. I never went to a place where I wasn't known by somebody.
Right.
Or we'd go see bands that I would introduce, you know, in a local scene, and then I'd go see them at whatever club they were playing at. They'd give me a shout out on stage, and she's like, oh my God, this guy's somebody. Little did she know, I don't know. I'm just an idiot. But it worked. Yeah, you know, I've been married for, it'll be 19 years in June.
Holy smokes, 19 years. Wow.
7 to the first. So that's 26 years married altogether, and I was single for 3 hours in between marriages.
So. Well, I was married 23 years, and I would say only 22 of them were bad, so.
I'll take this one is definitely a keeper. If anybody can stick around through getting your leg sawed off, you know, I guess it's somebody that you want to be with forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say that. My ex-wife stayed with me for the through the burns, watching me get cooked. But she
couldn't handle it after that, or what?
Hey, it wasn't the burns. Believe me when I tell you, the burns had nothing to do with it. It was much more of a thing of there's growing apart, and then there's growing continents apart.
I gotcha.
And we grew continents apart. I wanted to build businesses. She wanted me to be home and work a 40 and, you know, dog in the yard, white picket fence. She wanted that guy. Not Megadeth guy.
Yeah, I think we share the same YouTube account because I see a lot of metal stuff on YouTube when I go to see. So speaking of June, when our anniversary is, June 27th, I believe, and
okay.
We celebrate 19 years, we're going on our first vacation since I lost my leg.
Where are you going?
Like longer than like a weekend kind of thing. Like
sure.
So we booked our trip, and we are going to stay at the Hilton Grand Vacation at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida.
Nice. Don't get too close to the tanks.
I mean, what are you going to do? Take my other leg?
One of those Tilikum whales come and bite you.
So I just need a vacation. Last vacation I was on, I found the nail in my shoe and then ended up next to death like a week later.
Right.
So I'm hoping the same doesn't happen this time around. But we're going to Orlando.
Okay.
My dad has like a Hilton whatever, and they get like points and stuff. And so I don't have to pay anything for the room because he gave me some of his points. And so the entire room is paid for 4 nights. We're going to stay there. And I'm the kind of guy, dude, I used to go to SeaWorld all the time when it was here.
Sure.
And it brings back a lot of memories of like my mom has long since passed. But we used to go to SeaWorld all the time together. So we'd get us season passes. She'd pick me up from school. We'd go out to SeaWorld and have dinner and watch shows. And so it brings back a lot of memories of my childhood. Okay.
Sure.
And so when I found out that I could stay at the resort, like across the street from the place, and, you know, I thought, I got to go. I think this would be fun.
Now, I'm curious, just because there's been so much negative publicity in the last, like, 10 years about SeaWorld.
Right.
Do they still have the whale show?
Yes, they do. Yes,
do they?
Okay. They have all the typical shows you would see. But you know what's different about like this SeaWorld compared to like the SeaWorld that was up here is that they actually have like roller coasters and rides and
okay
cool shit. I mean,
so it's more of an amusement park than
an amusement park slash SeaWorld. I mean, they still have the penguins and all that kind of crap, but they have, you know, they have rides.
Sea attractions as part of the amusement park.
Yes. Okay. It's almost like a
it's like Disney. If we didn't have the lake between Geauga Lake and SeaWorld. Right. It would have just been one big old conglomerate.
But like I'm weird, so I like went to YouTube and started looking at videos of like what the hotel looks like, and then looking at, you know, what SeaWorld looks like. And, I mean, they have rides comparable to some Disney rides, you know, inside boat rides, all this kind of stuff. It looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks all right.
Now, are you staying at SeaWorld, or are you staying somewhere like off of?
Well, it's called like the Hilton Grand Vacation at SeaWorld.
So it's like, is it part of SeaWorld though? Like, is it all the same company?
Well, I mean, if they use the name, but I think it's like right across the street from the park itself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it looks interesting. It looks, look, at some point in my life, my body became 70. My age is going to be 48 in July, and my brain is stuck at 17.
Right.
So, like, there's a mixture of shit going on inside Seth. I should probably be, like, analyzed by some kind of psychiatrist, whatever it is, and figure out what the hell is wrong with me. But so I'm looking forward to relaxing at the hotel and everything, but I'm also looking forward to the amusement park and going to SeaWorld as the 17-year-old that's still stuck inside my brain.
All right.
Do drugs like stop your brain from working? Is that how that does it work like that? Like, did I like just mentally retarded myself at some point?
Did you really ask that question? Do drugs retard your brain?
Well, look, I know that it makes you kind of stupid and stuff like that, but I'm saying, does it stunt your growth at some point?
Well, your brain definitely stops growing if you kill all the brain cells.
I don't think I did that many drugs. Yeah, see?
There you go. There's the... Here we go. Look at this. Look. Oh, there we go. There's over here in the corner is you, Seth, right here.
Look. See, now how can you not like that? They were abused. Those animals have a better life than anybody I've ever seen.
Not if you watch, what is that movie? Blackfish? Did you ever see that movie, the documentary about Tillicum?
I'm not going to watch it. Look, I'm sure things have changed a lot since that came out.
Probably not. All of these whales are the spawn of the one that killed the lady.
Something goes wrong here?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
This is where something goes wrong.
Killer whale goes wrong. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're killing each other. Whoops.
We're going to scar the lives of children that are watching this podcast.
We're going to scar, the main child being you who's going to this.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything bad.
Of course. Oh, look, they're attacking each other. They're attacking each other, Seth. This is going to be a great show. Look at this. Boom! You're in for a great treat when you go there, man.
Wear shoes, please, is what he said.
The aggression now culminates with an orca attacking another.
All right. Look, to me, that provides more of a show. And then
well, I agree.
When the kids start screaming bloody murder.
Oh, look at this. Force. Oh, boom.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know if you really want to go to this one, man.
This is the video that you had to pull up. There's like 18,000 videos. Of, you know,
I pulled one at random.
Shamu jumping out of the water, and everybody's clapping. You find
who wants to see that? I'd rather see these two orcas fight. This is much better. This is the show you want, isn't it?
It's probably a cheating orca, and the other one found out it was fucking the other one.
What would you rather see happen at SeaWorld? Jump up and touch a ball? Or these guys attacking each other?
Attacking each other. That'd be pretty sweet.
That's what I'm saying. This would be awesome.
It would be scarring if there was like blood in the water and stuff. That would be awful.
I'm sure we can find that too if we look.
No, that's not. Why would you do that?
Well, because you're going. I want to make sure you understand what you're going
to
go see.
I'm looking forward to bingo on by the pool at the resort. Well, WWE.
I love it. It's fantastic. I really did pull it at random. It wasn't like it was a plan at all. I did see where to click the first one on the top.
WWE Whale Wrestling Entertainment. That's it right there. But look, I booked this one. There's other resorts obviously to stay at in Orlando, but I booked this one because of the SeaWorld thing, and I think it'd be fun. Again, they had like two pools, a couple of jacuzzis, none of which I'm going to be able to get into.
Why not?
Because I'm handy. I don't have a leg, dude.
So?
Look at that. That looks like fun.
Is that who you're going with? Krissa Travels?
No.
Oh, look,
we're actually going to drive down there.
Oh, Jesus God, dude. So you're going to hear the whole Taylor Swift album like 14 times in a row?
No, my daughter's going to fly down the week before. So it's just going to be me and my wife driving down. And we're gonna
hear Cold Sweat and Keel. And yeah. Because your wife will still be hot from this interview.
But, we plan on staying somewhere like halfway on the way down. And okay. Stop by my dad's in South Carolina, see him.
Right.
And then check in on that Sunday to resort and everything else. But they have like that roller coaster probably can't go on, because then if my leg falls off, then I'm going to hit somebody and kill them.
Look at this thing. Jesus.
Yeah, but look, I can't. If my leg falls off, then I'm fucked.
Yeah, well, could you just leave it off and get it?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've never been on a roller coaster with no leg, so this should be interesting.
Jesus. I don't know that I'd want to ride this thing.
But I will say this.
Okay.
I am fully prepared to take advantage of any handicap benefits I could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
If I can cut the line, I'm cutting the line.
Well, you should. You should be able to cut every line without a leg.
Right.
You should definitely be able to. I can't stand here. All right. This looks like an aquarium. Okay.
Look, you can call me all kind of names. I'm sure that
I'm not saying nothing.
Seth is a homosexual because he wants to go see some fish.
I'm not saying that. I like fish. I'm not saying nothing bad about the fish. I'm actually into the ocean type stuff. Not enough to go to SeaWorld for $10,000, but
Seth, will you drive on the highway to go to Florida? Yes, we will be driving the highway to go to Florida. God damn.
How are you gonna what would the other way to be?
Look.
Take this back road to that back road.
I don't
know
if I've explained to you, like my wife and I prior to my accident.
Yeah.
We never took the highway anywhere.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that once.
Well, like when we went to Cincinnati to visit my daddy, he used to live in Cincinnati, and now he's moved to South Carolina. But when he lived in Cincinnati, we would take Route 42, Pearl Road, all the way to Cincinnati.
Jesus, dude. What did that take, like 12 hours?
About 6 hours. About six hours to get to Cincinnati from here. But everywhere we went, we would take the highway.
Right.
Suck. I mean, even like rides to like North Olmsted for where we live took like an hour to get to. But now when you take the highways everywhere with you go, including myself.
That's a good point. Get yourself one of those motorized scooters.
Well, that's what I got to find out. I don't know if they have like motorized scooters. Well, I think they have wheelchairs. They have wheelchairs, but I don't.
Come on, dude. They probably got everything. You probably hire somebody to drive you around if you want to. Just you and all the fat ladies that are there.
Well, see, that's what I asked my wife, too. I asked my wife if she'd be embarrassed by me, riding like a motorized scooter or something like that.
And she said, of course.
I know she would be. She said no. But, I mean, I figured if I'm going to do something like that, the way I have to do it is, like, put the leg in, like, a cart.
Yeah.
Like, strap the leg to the back of the scooter or something like that, so that way people know that I'm not just some fat guy who's riding a scooter. I have a leg that's missing.
Well, you just make sure you're wearing shorts so that they can see the leg, and then you're good.
Yeah, but if you have a prosthetic leg, you're not walking on it, and people are going to say, look, you lazy fuck.
No, but you ride the scooter to the ride or whatever, and then you stand up.
And then put the leg on.
Yeah, but you're not going to want to take the leg on and off 14 times going around the park, are you?
I guess not.
I mean, if there's a ride here and then there's a ride, you know, 100 feet up the way, you're not going to take the leg off to drive 100 feet.
No, probably not.
All right, this looks like SeaWorld to me. I don't know what else to say about this. I
mean, it looks a rickshaw. Like, that would be nice. What do you mean? So you don't like SeaWorld?
Not enough to take a vacation to it, no. I mean, I don't have a problem.
While we're there, we're probably going to go to one of the Disney parks while we're there.
Like, I would probably, like, if I went to SeaWorld, first of all, I don't think I would do the rides. Plus, I'm a fat tub of shit. I'm not getting on any rides anyway. But I'd be afraid to pull off the fucking track. Doing that loop, it just pulls off because I'm so fat.
Yeah. I'm dead. I hear you. So, like, I remember I took a busload of listeners to Cedar Point back when I was with MMS.
Right.
And, I mean, the most horrific experience of my life was at Cedar Point because I tried to get on one of those rides.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have these fucking seatbelt things that have to attach to the bars.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to just pull the bars over and you go.
Yeah, it would lock in, right.
But now they have these seatbelts that have to attach to the bars that go over your shoulders. Well, the fucking seatbelt didn't attach. And so they made me get off the ride in front of the listeners.
Of course.
Including a couple of chicks that I kind of wanted to bang. But no, sorry, sir, you're too fat. Now everybody that's in line has seen you get off. Everybody that's with me was seeing me get off the ride. And I felt like a dick. So the only ride I could ride was like one of those stupid log rides. So I was literally chafing for the rest of the day. So you have a fat guy in a log ride. Next thing you know, your thighs are rubbing together and everything hurts for the next 6 hours of your life. It sucked.
Yeah. That's
but I've heard it like Disney and this SeaWorld and stuff like that, they don't generally have the seatbelt thing. It's just the bars.
Yeah, this looks like just a bar.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Now they're going to go on this fantastic. Gee, no thanks. You know, it's funny. When you watch video of roller coasters, they look awful. But then when you get on them, they're just not that bad.
Right. So you don't like fish is what I'm saying.
I like to eat it.
All right, but you don't like the enjoyment of seeing the show and all that kind of stuff.
I'm not going to say I don't. I'm going to say I've seen it. Let's be honest. When's the last time you saw the SeaWorld show? 20 years?
Yeah, but when I was a kid.
How different do you really think it's going to be?
It's probably not going to be a lot different, but what it does is bring back memories of my childhood and my mom, again, who's long since passed. And
but
reliving that would be fun for me.
And then you should go. But for me, it would just be like, all right, I've already seen this. It's like watching Barney Miller again. I've already seen
it. Which I thoroughly enjoy, though, Barney Miller, and I would watch an episode today.
See,
looks like fun. I've seen it a thousand times, but that would be fun. Yeah,
I'd like to throw some at that guy.
Why?
Because he's wearing a mask for one thing, douche.
Well, it was COVID during that time.
Oh, too bad.
I probably couldn't do because I don't want to get the leg wet with seawater.
Who was that guy going to get COVID from? That walrus?
I heard that it was spread.
Walrus COVID?
Yes, walrus COVID. It was spread through animals, supposedly. I doubt it.
I doubt it,
too. Look at this. I mean, look at how cool that looks.
Yeah.
Sharks. Sharks are cool.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Now, I will say, now seeing this, all I'd be able to think about is Jaws 3. Remember when Jaws 3 attacked that tube?
Yes, which was the best Jaws movie. Oh, by the way.
Stop.
Best Jaws movie was Jaws 3.
Stop it. Jaws 3 in 3D was fun. But it really, when was the last time you watched it? Was it back when it came out?
No, probably like a year or two ago.
Oh, come on, dude.
Love that movie. Dennis Quaid.
It's funny. It's funny. I will say it's funny, but you really think that Jaws 3 was better than Jaws 1?
Absolutely.
Stop it.
Without a doubt.
Did you watch Jaws 4, The Revenge?
That was a terrible movie.
That was god awful. But
Jaws 3 rocked the house.
I like Jaws 3. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. I mean,
it sucks that you can't watch it in 3D now. but
Lewis got, yeah, because a lot of the cuts were just made just to be in 3D. So now you just see just a random fish head for like 15 seconds, and you're like, hey, what's that about?
A guy's arm just floating in the water.
Yeah, for no reason, you know, but it's like 15 seconds so that you would get the ooh from the 3D glasses. Yeah, I saw that in the theater in Jaws 3D. I saw it. Louis Gossett Jr. was in that, right?
Yes,
rest in peace. Didn't he just die?
Dennis Quaid.
I think Louis Gossett just died like last week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he did like a week ago. Yeah, look at look, he jumped.
See?
Oh, he jumped again.
All right, you're gonna make fun of my.
I'm not. I'm excited for you.
This is one of my bucket list things, and then the other bucket
list. I'm excited.
The other bucket list thing I want to do while I'm down there, those, and it's way expensive, so I got to start like a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
I have to go to Hollywood Studios because it's like a bucket list thing to see the Star Wars exhibit, like the Star Wars rides and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
I bet your boy John, Bloom Doggy Daddy.
He's Ben. What do you mean, Ben? He'd like to go. He's Ben.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm sure that he's gone to that place. He's a Star Wars guy, right?
Dude, he goes to the big annual celebration thing every 3 years or whatever it is. The big collective thing that they have. I guess it's every year, but it's only like once every 3 years in America or something.
Look, they even have Sesame Street Land, which I'll be walking
through. Oh, God.
I wouldn't say it's a bucket list thing to get my picture taken with Big Bird, but I'm going to.
F stands for foot, which you're missing, Seth.
The count, remember the count? He's counting.
Yes.
Count my feet. 1 foot.
One. Thank you, count.
Look at that. That looks cool.
Looks like a roller coaster.
Yeah, but it's like through the Arctic.
And where do you think this is?
It's in SeaWorld.
In Orlando?
Yes, they have it, like, again, like Disney, they have, like, I think it's an indoor thing.
That seems amazing.
I'm slightly concerned about how much food and stuff is going to cost.
Slightly? Brother, you better start applying for loans now. And that's just for the food.
So people need to sign up for an extra ship, which we'll get into a little bit, so I can have a good time at SeaWorld.
If I can make a recommendation for you, a place to eat that's actually, it's a little pricey, but it's definitely worth it. When you're in Kissimmee down there, go to Charlie's Steakhouse.
Yeah, Charlie's Steakhouse up here.
No. I've been to Charlie's Steakhouse here. I've been to Charlie's Steakhouse there. It is a total different animal.
All right.
It's fantastic down there.
So the room that we're staying in, they have a video about the hotel. You should pull it up. But the room, we got a guest coming up shortly, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
The room that we're staying in is a one-bedroom, king-size bed. It's got a full living room with a pull-out couch and all that kind of stuff. And it's got a full kitchen with a stove, refrigerator, full-size, and all that kind of stuff. And it's got a screened-in balcony overlooking the rest of the area.
Okay.
Which I think is cool. Sounds like a nice place. But I'm looking forward to kind of relaxing by the pool. I did see that they have like a chair for handicapped folks like me.
Okay.
So I could sit in the chair and then kind of dip me in the pool.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
But that sounds awfully embarrassing. Dude, I don't want to be that guy that's like being dipped into the pool by some fucking lifeguard.
Sounds like the Sopranos mother coming down the steps.
Like we went to Memphis when I maybe 2-3 months after I got out of the hospital, so I was still in a wheelchair.
Right.
And you know, my daughter wanted to see Graceland because she's a big Elvis fan.
Sure.
And so we had to take the shuttle bus from the attraction part to Graceland, the actual house.
Okay.
And it was so fucking embarrassing, dude. They had to stick the wheelchair in the back of this shuttle, and then they stick me on a ramp. And then all of a sudden, you just hear beep, beep, beep. And it's lifting me into the air and then into the shuttle. It was the most embarrassing goddamn thing I've ever been in my entire life.
That's hilarious.
All right, we'll talk more about this stuff in just a little bit, but we have our guest ready to go. You got the music ready to go?
I do. Well, let's do this.
Well, he's not ready yet. Doesn't look like he's ready yet.
No, he doesn't have his camera on yet. So, We will get to his music here in just a minute, but let's set it up here. Mark Ferrari will be joining us here shortly. Best known, I don't know what he's best known for.
Yeah,
I mean,
tough.
Could say Keel.
Good.
You could say Cold Sweat.
You definitely could.
You could say his award-winning book.
Absolutely.
Or you could say Wayne's World.
Wayne's World 1 and 2, I believe.
1 and 2.
Oh, you know what? I know what he's best known for.
What's that?
I wish he was on so you could hear me. And yeah.
I could bring him in. But I'm thinking he's having a video issue. But what is he best known for?
Murder, She Wrote, dude.
That's right. He was in Murder, She Wrote as well.
Step by Step.
That's right. Step by Step. Who was in Step by Step? That was the Hulk guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe.
Bill Bixby? Is that right? No, Patrick Duffy. Patrick Duffy. They looked similar. So, all right. Well, let's do this. Let's play a little Cold Sweat, and then we will bring Mark Ferrari on. So check it out. It's Cold Sweat, and we'll be back in a minute. It is the Seth Williams Show. All right, and here we are.
And roll the song, you hung up.
Yeah, I think he's having trouble getting his camera started. Let's hope he comes back here in a second.
It's good to hear the music anyways.
Want to hear it again? We could play the music again, I guess. There he is.
There he is.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's bring him on right now. From Keel, from...
Cold Sweat
from Wayne's World, and he ran away. What the hell? There he is. All right, here we go. The one, the only, Mr. Mark Ferrari. Mark, how are you, man?
All good in the hood. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's great to have you on, man. It's great. I'm going to start with the most current project. It's great to have this Cold Sweat live record, man. Fantastic. Didn't even know it existed. From what I hear, neither did you guys. Tell us all about this.
Yeah, so Cold Sweat just dropped a new release called Unburied Alive. And it's a kind of a, the title is a play on words on half of it being recordings that we did back in the early 90s as demos. So they've been kind of buried all this time. And then the second half of that was the Alive part, which is two different recordings from various concerts that Cold Sweat did. One from the 2020 Monsters of Rock cruise and one from the 1990 Monsters of Rock festival in Germany.
Wow. Nice.
We went over to Germany to play that one big show with Whitesnake and Aerosmith and Poison. So that's where we're at with that release. We're really happy to finally get this out there for the fans. And we did have the four new songs, although they're not new because they weren't recorded recently. I want to be clear, these were recorded back in 1991, right. Early 91. So, but they were mastered to bring it up to today's sonic quality. The live show from 1990 is a little rough around the edges. I'm just putting it out there. It's a bore tape. I understand it actually came from a cassette.
Right.
But our thought was, you know what? It's better than nothing. It's better than not releasing it. So as long as the listeners out there understand that that was the best thing that we could find quality-wise from that time period, they should be good with it.
Right on. Yeah. Well, Mark, what I know what your compadres in your other bands are doing, because I'm friends with both Roy and with Ron. So, you know, I hear about those guys all the time. I don't hear your name so much these days. Are you still playing, or are you in a band? I mean, other than Cold Sweat, what are you doing?
No, that's maybe one reason that my name isn't out there as much, as I've never done any of these all-star bands or, you know, classic rock stuff. You know, I've gotten asked to do a few of them, but it's just kind of not my thing. You know, I'm happy with what's on my plate between the Keel and Cold Sweat projects. We get to play once in a while. I mean, I wish we were playing more, okay. But it is what it is. As I mentioned, you know, Keel and Cold Sweat, on average, will play, you know, one show a year. In the case of Keel, it's been a couple of years since we played, other than Keel Fest.
So, right.
But no, I'm happy. I'm happy with my lot in life, I guess. You know, I'm as busy as I want to be, and I've got other things in my life that keep me busy too. You know, I'm still very busy in the production music space, and I've been very active in putting publishing deals together between buyers and sellers, and supervising films. Any given year, I'm supervising 10 films a year. So, you know, it's not like I'm sitting here playing video games all day. All right, so, although sometimes I wish I was.
All right, so I got to ask you a little bit different here, so I apologize. But what was it like... My wife and my sister-in-law both love you, by the way. I grew up listening to you. I think you're awesome. But what's it like being a super hot rock star back in the 90s, kicking ass on the guitar? And it had to be like the life of luxury and everything that I dream about when I go to bed at night.
Well, I don't know about the luxury part, you know. You know, both Keel and Cold Sweat, unfortunately, didn't, you know, rise to the level of success a lot of our, you know, compadres did. You know, we never headlined, you know, Keel headlined some theaters, you know, but we never headlined arenas. We were, for the most part, an opening act during our career. You know, we opened up for Motley Crue. We opened up for Bon Jovi. We opened up for Queensryche. We opened up for Dio, you know. And Cold Sweat, you know, unfortunately, also was in that same boat where we just, you know, we were on club tours for the most part. We did a segment of the deal Lock Up the Wolves tour in 1990, but other, you know, which was arenas, small arenas, and that was an arena tour, but you know, the rest of the touring that year were clubs. So look, I'm here to tell you, it didn't suck, you know, being a rock musician during those years, you know. But it was work, and it wasn't all glory, and it certainly wasn't luxury most of the time. You know, so.
I don't know. I guess I have this image of the tour bus with the girls hanging out the window and guitar playing all night long until 4 o'clock in the morning with the, you know, the beer flowing and just a good time all the time.
Well, the tour bus saw some of that, for sure. But don't forget, there'd be many nights where we'd play a gig and have to get on that bus and leave, you know, for a 7 or 8 hour drive to the next, you know, town, and get there in the morning and try to have a shower and, you know, do interview, whatever it was. So it wasn't all party, for sure.
Sure.
So my wife wanted me to ask you real quick about your Lifetime movies.
Okay, so I just mentioned that I been music supervising for a production company that used to license music from my music library many years ago. And when I left Universal, they reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to be their in-house music supervisor and create music for their films. I said, sure. That sounds like a great, you know, it was fun. So these folks, any given year, they'll produce half a dozen or so of these cheesy holiday. They'll even admit that they're cheesy, right? The holiday movies that you see in Lifetime or Hallmark or Oprah Winfrey Network. So there's usually half a dozen of those, and then the other half is these dramas that they have a series. The wrong boyfriend, the wrong real estate agent, the wrong cruise, the wrong movie. You know. So, yeah, it's half dramas and half holiday stuff. But
that's cool.
That's one of the things that's on my plate is that I supervise these films and I produce the music for some of the background music for that, and I do all the administration for them. Handle a lot of back end stuff that's not very sexy, but I enjoy it. You know, it's another facet.
That's awesome.
of my life.
Sure. Mark, I want to go back into obviously the heyday, and certainly you specifically, not your bands, but you seemed to have been that guy that everybody wanted to work with, whether it was the Pantera guys early or Ace Frehley at some point. And then, obviously Gene Simmons came calling for you and Keel at one point. And then when Wayne's World came calling, they called you. What were you doing that kept you out in front of even your bands?
Well, I think it comes down to relationships, First of all, the Gene Simmons thing happened first.
Okay.
That was 84.
Okay.
That we connected with Gene. As a matter of fact, we're in the 40-year anniversary now of Keel starting.
Right.
And a couple weeks ago is the 40-year anniversary of the first Keel concert show, I should say. And we'll be rolling up on 40 years since we met Gene and started recording The Right to Rock, which was in August of 84. That happened first. But some of the other things that you spoke of, the Wayne's World stuff, and Pantera was like 85 when I first met Pantera. Okay. They came out to see us play at one of our gigs in Texas and, played me some of their material, which was not the Pantera that we know of today, but
sure,
much more commercial. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the older recordings
that
Pantera did, but specifically Projects in the Jungle, which was their second album, that's the one they played for me, which I just loved. And so I started working with those guys really early on. I started waving that flag way back in like 85. And little known fact is they actually got signed to the label that Keel was on, the production company that Keel was signed
to. Okay.
Through my efforts and stuff. But they never released anything. They had to, back in those days, Gold Mountain had to have a distributor for all their product. And Pantera was just ahead of their time. And unfortunately, probably fortunately for them, they didn't get released on Gold Mountain. And then I think they got signed in 89 to ATCO, and their album came out in 1990. So, but again, it all boils down to relationships. For instance, the Ace Frehley thing, obviously I'm a huge fan of Kiss, the first show I ever saw when I was 14, and then doing two albums with Gene. But Eddie Trunk was the one that put me in touch with Ace when he was at Megaforce, and they were releasing Ace's albums, and Ed thought I'd be a good match for him, and he put us together. And I wrote the song Five Card Stud on that album Trouble Walking that he recorded.
Sure.
And the Wayne's World thing was a connection through Keel. Penelope Spears was the director of Wayne's World 1, and we got to do a video with her in 1987 for a song called Rock and Roll Outlaw, which was not on a Keel album, but it was on the soundtrack to one of her films.
Okay.
The film in question was called Dudes. So right. You rent it, and John Cryer's in it, and Daniel Roebuck with the male stars in there. Anyways, so the Wayne's World thing happened because I just continued staying in touch with Penelope, and she asked me what are you doing this summer? I said, well, nothing. She said, how'd you like to be in my movie? I said, well, I'm going to turn that down. Come on,
right.
So, but, just to kind of summarize, I think it's all about relationships, and I was always, of the five guys in Keel, I was the one that was out there the most hitting the clubs, and just, the other guys didn't live near Hollywood, and, I was out there just shaking hands and, pressing the flesh a little bit more than the other guys, and maybe that was something to do with it.
Was Tia Carrere as hot in person as she is in the movie?
But Tia Carrere is a sweetheart. I gotta tell you, And very coincidentally, we both live in the same town. I live in Agoura Hills, California. She moved here about 5-6 years ago. Yeah. And we're good friends. We've been over to each other's houses a couple times and still staying in touch with her. And she really is a sweetheart.
That's
She's
awesome.
Very unpretentious, and she doesn't have the movie star attitude to her. She's really, really down to earth.
Cool.
I can't say enough good things about her.
Very good. Well, Mark, I wanted to ask you, too. You know, people probably don't know this. I know this because I'm a music dork, but you've kind of been on both sides of the business of music, really three sides if you count writing the book that is largely considered the, you know, the Bible to some people of how to work in the business. But you've worked as a musician, and then you worked at a label, you know, at a high level at a label. What differences were there for you between being a musician and then being on the other side? And did you like the differences that you had to make to transition to the business side of it?
Well, I've always been the business guy in all the bands that I've been in going back to high school. You know,
sure.
And for some reason, I got a little bit of the left brain, you know, which is, I think, the analytical side, and a little bit of the right brain, which is the creative side. So I like to joke that I'm half-brained, you know. Those were the cards that I was dealt, you know. But in answer to your question about, you know, I did sell my business to Universal back in 2007. And for the next 5 years, I became a Universal Music Group employee. I actually was a division president,
you know,
running the business that I sold to them. And I did have to make, you know, I had to operate under their constrictions, you know, and that was, you know, I had to learn, you know, there was a lot of things I had to learn, you know, because I'd always been my own guy, you know, I'd always been, when I started my business in the early 90s for the better part of 15 years, you know, I was, like I said, I was my own boss. So it took a little getting used to, you know, to have to answer to people. And, you know, in my case, I had to do all these reports and really, you know, kind of corporate stuff, you know, which I didn't mind because I knew going into it that was what I had to accept in selling my business to Universal. And I, you know, I stayed 5 years. Actually, my first employment agreement was only for 3, and I gave him another 2.
Okay.
After five years, I had my fill of it.
So, right.
Yeah.
Did you find yourself in any positions? Like when I was reading up on you and working with Universal, my first thought that comes to mind, this is just as a fan that follows music in general, was how does a musician tell another musician what to do creatively or what to change creatively? Because I know as a interviewer of musicians, there's nobody telling you how to play your guitar. It's just not going to happen.
Well, that's true. But in my line of work, which is, it's called production music, it's kind of assembly line music, you know? It's music that's created specifically for a certain need. And so the guys that I hired to write music for me, whether it be a country writer or a rock writer or a Latin writer or R&B writer, you know, they go into this knowing that they have to take direction. You know, they, you know, if I'm going to hire you to write a country song, you can't turn in a Metallica song for me. You know?
Right.
Not that I wouldn't mind a Metallica song, but these things that I did for Universal, they were project specific. And again, these folks have to know that I'm going to give them a set of directions. I'm not going to micromanage you. I'm not going to, you know, tell you how to write the lyrics or, you know, what guitar part to write, but just give you, you know, a basic framework of staying in that lane. You know, we want, you know, country crossover stuff that has some pop elements to it, has some country elements to it. You know, some will have a female vocal, some will have a male vocal. Make sure you have a fiddle on this one or a couple of them. You know, make sure you have pedal steel on. I just give general directions.
Okay.
I don't micromanage. So, but it, you know, I think a musician can talk to another musician, you know, and get that, you know, get their point across, you know, hey, this needs to be a different tempo. Hey, why don't you try, you know, bringing this up, up a half a step or down a half a step, or, you know, why don't you try an acoustic guitar here and just, you know, they're just suggestions, you know. If I had the time to write everything, if I was talented to write all these different genres of music, I'd do it myself, but I'm not. So that's why, you know, you hire the right guy for the job.
Do you think what you're doing now is probably better for making a living in music than being in a band, considering with Spotify?
Oh, depends how big the band is, doesn't it? I mean,
well, yeah, I guess, but I mean, right now it's so difficult. Look, you got a tour, you got to sell merch if you're going to make money being a band now. I mean, you're not going to make money off of Spotify or Apple Music. That's not, you know, not the way it's done.
I was just joking.
Yeah.
Metallica, Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, right. You're making great money.
Yeah.
Right? But those guys are the, you know, they're at the peak. They're at the top of the heap. And then you've got everybody down here that's not those guys. And certainly it's been a tough go for a lot of folks in the last 10 years or so. So I happen to find something, you know, this music for film and TV that is financially rewarding, and it allowed me to be still involved with music, you know, and music publishing can be the gift that keeps on giving. I'm still earning royalties for stuff that I wrote 25, 30 years ago that are in these TV shows, these hit shows that keep, you know, recirculating on cable or network television.
And I know Chris will disagree with me, but let's be honest. Rock music isn't what it was back then. Nobody picks up the guitar, plays like you do today. It's a lot of weird, kind of girly kind of rock. It's not the same rock that I grew up with. And, you know, it makes me sad. I just think rock music is different.
Well, look, music, you're absolutely right. It has changed, you know. Some people would say not for the better. But, you know, certainly when, you know, I think about like when I was just a young guy and I had to buy vinyl, right? And this was before the internet, so you're not seeing videos. No. You don't have Spotify. You have to go out and buy an album, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to absorb that album. You've got the album in your hand, you're looking at the artwork, you've got your headphones on, you're really absorbing that music a lot more deeply than today, where a lot of artists are here today, gone later today. And they're singles based artists, so not album based artists. And back in the day, record companies stuck with artists for album and album and album. A lot of my favorite bands didn't break till album number four. So,
right.
Kiss being an example, right? Thin Lizzy being an example, UFO being an example.
Journey.
You know, their big album, you could argue maybe was Highway to Hell was pretty successful, but that was their fourth album, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have that anymore, you know? Everything is disposable today.
Ugh.
Do you think, Mark, that, and especially since you do music for like soundtracks and stuff like that, like I'm in the same business, I'm in a similar business, but I'm not playing radio guy, where I help artists find their royalties. So I'm very well aware of how a lot of this works. Do you think that the future of making money as a musician is no longer in being in bands, but being in soundtracks or writing music for Peloton or writing music where it gets licensed to various outlets versus getting it on the radio and getting discovered?
Well, you know, I think it's maybe a little of both, because most musicians still like playing, you know. But I can tell you that the other things that you mentioned are more stable forms of income, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, look, genres change. Things come in and out of fashion, you know. I'm a great example of a guy that was put out of business by the grunge movement, right?
Okay.
By 1991, after my second band, Cold Sweat, kind of ran its course. And then 1991 was the year the Nirvana album came out and the grunge movement was in full swing. I mean, I was already considered a dinosaur in 1991, right?
Right.
So I'm a prime example of a guy that shifted. I made a pivot. You know, I found something that was still in music, but it had a broader base, okay? And it has a more reliable source of income. Let's put it that way. But it would be a shame to have musicians give up their dream of like releasing product, because I mean that's kind of what musicians do. They write, they create, they want other people to like their music, right? So I think it'd be a shame if musicians gave up on that.
Right.
But maybe adding to that, okay, I can still have a band, but I can still try to get my music in TV shows and films and video games and, you know, other ancillary markets, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just tell you, for me as a fan first, and I know you do this for a living, so I don't want to be insulting here. I'm just going to say an honest thing. It's driving me crazy now when I watch TV and every commercial is a Journey song, a Motley song, a Zeppelin song, etc. I understand that that is the media, that is the way we're going this way. Do you feel as a creator, just as a creative person, that it is cheapening what you've created once the music is sold off and then used in that function?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because early on in the advertising space, you know, there were certain artists that really felt that that was cheapening their music. You know, mm-hmm. It didn't want anything to do with the corporate world.
Right.
You know, Neil Young was a good example of that, you know. But things change, you know, as they see their mechanical income, you know, dwindle down to nothing. And they can make $500,000 or more by allowing the use of their music in a commercial. That kind of money speaks volumes, you know. So, look, there's always going to be those, you know, some of these artists who are going to take that high road and just not want their stuff licensed. By the way, some artists will allow their stuff to be licensed, but they'll exclude it from certain things. Like they don't want their music licensed for political things. They don't want their music licensed for, you know, feminine hygiene products. They don't want their, you know, whatever. They can limit, you know, they can still allow their music to be used, but they can pick and choose, you know, what types of ads that they want their music to be used for. There you go. Yeah, so anticipation for that ketchup commercial. I mean, ugh. That ruined it for me. I guess that's a good example, because that's such a great song, a Carly Simon song, but it was like the Heinz ketchup commercial for a long time. It's like,
right.
A lot of people, you know, associate that song with ketchup. I don't know how she feels about it. And maybe she didn't have that control, you know. I don't know. They have to have those restrictions built into their contracts.
Right on, man. Well, one more quick question. I just wanted to touch on your book, which, again, like I mentioned before, is definitely considered one of the Bibles to a lot of people as far as how to survive and to be successful in the business. What led you, and I know it's been 20-whatever years since you wrote it at this point, but what led you into writing? I mean, you had done so many other things.
Yeah.
This was like the one media that you hadn't conquered at the time, and then you jumped in and wrote arguably the best book on the subject ever.
Well, thank you. You know, rolling back to, you know, the book came out in 2002.
Two.
Yeah, but I started writing it, I think, the year 2000. You know, there have been many books written about the music industry, you know, by attorneys or agents or whatever, but none were written by recording artists,
right?
None of them were written by someone that actually started in a garage band, you know, and wound up playing the biggest arenas, you know, in the world, you know. I wanted to write this because that voice hadn't been told yet. That story hadn't been told yet. And I think I offered a unique perspective because I was there. I was there when the band started. I was there when we were discussing, you know, what manager to hire. I was there when we were discussing, you know, publishing deals. I was there when we were on the road and this happened and that happened, this happened, you know. So I think that I offered a unique perspective on it. And at the time, my book was the first one written by a recording artist. So, and I also wrote it. You know, I wasn't using, you know, language that, you know, a lot of these books that I read, even I have a hard time understanding.
Right.
they're written by, you know, highly educated people that are not musicians, you know. So this was a musician's voice. This was an artist's voice writing this book. And by the way, there was no ghostwriters in that book. It's just me.
Awesome.
A lot of autobiographies have ghostwriters. So, that wasn't me. I was the ghost.
No doubt. Well, Mark, obviously, man, you have this great release, Unburied Alive, Cold Sweat, and you guys are back, sort of. You've got your one gig a year coming up, like, pretty quick, right?
Yeah. So, we'll be at the M3 Festival rolling up here in a couple of weeks in Maryland. We're playing on Cinco de Mayo. We're playing 5-5, along with a great lineup of Brett Michaels, his special guest, Dee Snider. Night Rangers on that day, Stripers on that day, YNTs on that day.
Wow.
So I encourage everybody to come on out and, you know, this is the festival to go to this year. And we're also announced on the 2025 Monsters of Rock cruise.
It's great.
That's Cold Sweat. So we're also hoping that Keel gets a little love too, because we've got some pretty big anniversaries coming up.
Well, I'm assuming since we know the best guitar player in the set there, that we could probably get tickets to the show.
We'll talk afterwards.
Very good. Well, Mark, man, it's been great chatting with you, man. Cold Sweat, Unburied Alive is the record. Go buy it, people. It's over at rfkmedia.com and probably everywhere else that you would buy it. Please buy it. Don't just stream it. Don't be lame. Buy it. And Mark, thanks so much for joining us here on the Seth Williams Show.
All right. Party on.
Thanks Seth. Bro.
For a way to support the Seth Williams Show? Get your Seth Williams Show merchandise today. From coffee mugs to clothing and everything in between, our high-quality merch is the perfect way for you to not only support the show, but show everyone what is the greatest show going today. Just go to shop.thesethwilliamshow.com now, shop around, and buy some great merchandise from the Seth Williams Show. Shop today.
He was cool.
He was great. Are you kidding me? That dude has done everything, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, oh, man. What a career.
Oh, my God.
He's been successful in the worlds of writing and movies and TV shows and music. That's a nice career.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
My screen just went blank.
You can't see nothing?
I couldn't. I could hear you, and I'm back.
Oh, nice. Whoops.
No, he was cool. That was fun.
That was fun, a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out, everybody. Cold Sweat, Unburied Alive over at rfkmedia.com is where you can buy it. So buy it, and if you are able to go to Maryland and go to the M3 Festival. Well,
we know the guy. We can't get tickets.
We can get tickets if you want to go to Maryland.
I'll go to Maryland. You drive.
I ain't driving. I don't know. I'll wait for it to come here.
Right, like any festival is going to come here.
I don't want to go to a festival. I'd rather just go and see Cold Sweat or Keel.
So it's funny because every I do the stupid. Well, I shouldn't say stupid. I do traffic and weather after I'm done with the Bob France show every day, right? Mm-hmm. So produce Bob France, then I stick around for a couple hours, and I got to do traffic and weather while I'm booking guests and all the other crap that I do.
Right.
And every other day, dude, there's something going on in traffic. And it's because a concert's coming to town. Not here.
No, Columbus.
Youngstown.
Youngstown. Covelli Center.
Right. Get 4,000 concerts, and we get dick.
Yeah, we get nothing anymore. We are the outcast.
We are. The rock and roll capital of the world gets nothing.
That's why I say just sink that Rock Hall. Just sink it into the lake. Because it doesn't mean anything anymore. Cleveland is not the rock and roll capital of the world anymore. Yeah. It's not.
Bunch of junk.
It's the Machine Gun Kelly capital of the world.
Right, yeah. Travis Kelce capital of the world.
Yeah. It's the Guardians capital of the world.
Right. They're doing all right, though.
Are they?
Yeah, last I checked, like the best record in baseball.
I don't know. I'm a Padres fan.
Yeah. How are they doing?
I have no
That's
idea.
So great. That's so good.
No, they stink. That's why I don't think I've even watched a game yet. I don't know about you, but other than the Browns, I've checked out completely. I have to tell you this real quick.
All right.
So I know the playoffs started this week, right? And I think I remember it was Saturday or yesterday, but one of those 2 days was the Cavs' first game against the Magic.
Saturday.
I was like, I'm bored out of my skull. I was dicking around with YouTube TV. I see the Cavs game. I was like, all right, for the first time this year, I'm going to watch some Cavs basketball, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'll be the first one to admit, I don't know anybody that's on the team. I don't know how good they are or bad they are. Now, I really have checked out on Cavs basketball. But I just was bored, and I wanted to watch some basketball. I turned it on. It was on ESPN. Thank you, ESPN, for gracing me with not one, but two women announcers.
I know. Yeah.
Jesus. Not that the one was bad enough. The main one, Susan, whatever her name is, but she's been around a while. But the other one, the color commentary person.
Yep.
She didn't say 10 words in the hour that I left the game on.
Good.
Not good. It was unbearable. Unbearable to watch.
I watched one game. I can't remember whether it was the Cavs or whatever. It was on ESPN, and they showed the duo doing the call of the game, and the chick was really hot.
Okay.
And I could get behind it because I was staring at her. And then the minute the game started and she started talking, I said, I'm going to burn my television. Like, I thought about taking the television, tossing it out the window, lighting it on fire. I have nothing against women. I think women are the most fantastic people on the face of the planet. I think women are beautiful. And all shapes, colors, sizes, whatever you want to call them. I love women. They're fantastic. Women can do anything a man can do.
Mm-hmm.
Except call a fucking football game, basketball game, or baseball game. Stay out of my sports.
And out of my comedy club.
Yes.
You can do everything else, but
I would rather just see a female doctor who's going to grab my nuts and tell me to cough than have somebody that is telling me how to, you know, how they dribble a basketball. I would rather go have a woman open heart surgery on me, but not calling a football game. Quit doing it. It's awful. It's terrible.
It is. It was so ungodly to listen to. It was to the point that even though it was exciting basketball, I turned it off.
Oh, absolutely.
And let me see. I think I have a clip. I think I have a clip here. And not coincidentally, rather, this is from the awful announcing on X. So check this out.
Makes just his fourth start of the season.
Right there, I'm done.
Yeah. Nothing.
Hello.
Hello, is anybody there? Wait, this is funny. Hello. Anybody? Hello. Is anybody there? It's not supposed to be this quiet, folks.
No.
Oh, here we go. Another shot. Oh, yeah. Ball's thrown to that guy. Oh. Hello. Is anybody home?
All right, do they ever talk?
They will hear them. Hello. Hello. Oh, somebody's dribbling. Threw it to somebody else. I'll announce because she's not. Up. Oh, what's going on? This isn't a playoff game. They must have given us the G team or the H team or whatever. Still, we haven't heard one call. There's 8 points on the board. and the foul.
Are they going to talk?
They'll talk. They're getting to it.
Get the fuck out of here.
This is not edited. Look, now it says technical difficulties.
Wow.
Oh, there's a three. Oh, in and out.
Has the rebound.
There you go.
Those triples and the ability to open up the lane. Both these clubs with good size in the middle. Nice pocket pass. Garland finds Mobley for the
floor. All right,
flush.
I take it back.
Yeah, so stop talking.
Just underway here in Cleveland, and we apologize for some technical difficulties we're having.
Somebody did that on purpose because they know they suck, and that was the best call of any basketball game I've ever seen.
It was like 2.5 minutes.
Without them talking, that made it the best game call I've ever heard a woman do. Like, I'm not trying to be mean to women because I, again, love and respect women, and I think they're absolutely beautiful and wonderful.
Dude, but they went two minutes.
They ruined basketball and football.
They went 2 minutes without a word. Without one word in a basketball game.
I just don't get the announcing part. I just don't understand.
Well, I understand it. It's just a flawed thing. ESPN is determined to ram it down your throat, a political agenda.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to do. They're going to, I turned it on and I was like, how can this be the duo that we get for an NBA playoff team? You're going to tell me that the best that the ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, can do for their announced team on the playoffs is give us whoever that was, Beth Mowins and somebody else.
Terrible.
Just awful.
But Scott's right. That's DEI for you. That's what you get when you have to, you know, people are forcing the situation. You know, DEI is, you know what DEI is.
Yeah.
Diversion, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
And so now what they want to do is they want to force the issue of you have to be diverse. You have to stick women in where men used to be. You have to stick black people in where, mm-hmm. you know, here's the deal. You're supposed to pick the most qualified person to do any job. Now, if the NBA and the NFL were forced to do DEI, what the fuck would happen?
Nothing would happen in the NFL.
At the damn NFL rosters, and you look at the rosters for the NBA, and you tell them that they have to do DEI, and you have to stick so many white people and Asian people on an NBA court, those teams would suck.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to see a team that sucks. Mm-mm. I want you to pick the best people and put them on the court. I don't care what the hell color they are. If they can catch a football, dribble a basketball, I don't care what color you are, the best players need to be on the court. And that goes for any other profession. The best pilot, the best doctor, and you know what? If they're all white, then let them all be white because I want the person who's most qualified to be landing the plane. If they're all black, let them all be black. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care
either.
The
best need to be doing the jobs.
I'm yet to hear any white people complain about that there's too many black people in the NBA.
I mean, maybe
I'm yet to, or the NFL. Have you honestly ever heard that from any white person you know?
No. Do you remember the last white cornerback to play in?
Corner?
Oh, yeah.
He played for the Giants, right?
Yeah, yes.
I can't remember. Jason Sehorn
was the last white cornerback to play in the NFL, and you're talking about how many years?
20 years ago? 30 years ago? Yeah.
Decades. And look, we should maybe complain. Maybe we could have a lawsuit here, Chris. I don't see enough fucking handicapped people out there playing NFL football either.
I know. There should be more one-legged like people.
Yeah, I don't see people that look like me out there playing.
Well, they have one, that Shaq Griffin. He's missing a hand.
Okay. I don't see anybody out there with a leg missing.
But he is an amputee.
Okay, technically the same. Playing basketball, I'm suing the NBA.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be awful tough to dribble.
Like, I don't understand the DEI aspect of things when it comes to life. If everybody has to do it, I guess everybody has to do it, but they don't.
But you know what the difference is between like Shaq Griffin and what was the baseball, the pitcher?
Jim Abbott.
You know what the difference was between those guys and everybody else? Those guys we're three times as good as everybody else in order to get their chance.
Jim Abbott was a great pitcher.
Jim Abbott would throw a pitch and flip that glove onto his same hand that he threw with before the guy had a chance to hit the ball.
Exactly.
That was Jim Abbott was pretty damn amazing.
He was amazing. You know what? And deserved to be playing. But yeah, that wasn't DEI. That wasn't – they weren't forced to put him on a baseball team.
Look, if Jim Abbott got up there and threw 60 miles an hour and every pitch went out of the yard, he wouldn't have been out there.
No.
Same with these announcers. You know what these announcers did? In my household, this Beth Mowins and whoever the other lady was, you know what they did? They cost the NBA probably 50 opportunities to sell me something. Because I turned it off.
You're not the only one. I guarantee you that.
Oh, no. Of course not. Yeah, okay. And that's the point. But then you'll hear back that, well, women should be paid the same as guys. No. These women should not be paid the same as guys calling the game. They should not.
It's just like that fool Biden. Once again, the guy's an idiot. Sits there and says that the women who play in the WNBA should be paid the same as the men. Well, look, you dumb dick. They don't draw anywhere near the kind of crowd that, you know, the men do. They don't draw the advertising dollars that the men do because nobody watches the damn sport. And then on top of that, I hate to tell you, you dumbass, the one that Biden, oh, I'm all about the unions. That guy didn't realize that, I don't know, those deals are collectively bargained by the union.
Of course they are.
The players.
Well, not only, dude, I mean, look at this year, that what's that girl's name?
Caitlin Clark.
She's arguably the best basketball player, women's basketball player in like a generation, right? Is that's pretty much what we're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen her play any. Why? Because I don't watch women's sports.
Pretty good, though.
But I'm sure she is. I'm not. I mean, I saw that she got, what, $20 million a year from Nike, and she got, like, all kinds of endorsements before she signed a contract to play with the...
She's got a six-figure... No. I think there's an eight-figure deal with...
Eight-figure deal with Nike, $20
million. Yeah.
And that's great. I have no problem with it. I'm well aware that she's the best at the best. And she's being paid like the best. Here's the real drawback, though. The WNBA has been in business, what, 30 years?
Give or take, yeah.
Name three teams.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to be funny. Can you name three teams?
I could name the Cleveland Rockers when we had the team here. But other than that, I don't pay attention enough to.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, her style.
Can you name three NBA teams?
I could not name three players other than Caitlin Clark that are on a WNBA.
No, I couldn't name another player. No, not at all. But can you name three NBA teams?
Of course. I could name probably the entire league.
We don't even have a hockey team here. Can you name three NHL hockey teams?
Of course, yeah.
We don't even play soccer in this country, and I bet you can name a soccer team.
Of course.
A men's soccer team. We don't even have that here.
Yeah.
And you, NBA in the United, or WNBA in the United States is name recognizable on the same level as cricket is here in the United States. I couldn't name one cricket team. I can't name one WNBA team. So therefore, they should not be paid the same as LeBron James.
You know what her starting salary is for this year?
Who?
Forget about the endorsements and all that.
Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
$100,000.
$76,000.
Which is probably right. I mean, they won't bring 7,600 fans per game.
No. Yeah. Well, maybe for her. They might.
No, they won't. Maybe the first game. What do you want to bet in 6 months if I ask you this girl's name, you won't remember it? 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You will not remember. You know when you'll remember it? Whenever the first game is of the season, because ESPN and their DEI idiots, well, that'll be the only story. Caitlin Clark plays her first game with the Kansas City Jazz or whatever they are. Whoever the team is. I don't even know who she signed to.
I think it's the Indiana Fever.
Oh, the Indiana Fever. I have all their pennants.
Do you? Me too.
I got a jersey right here.
I'm going to get a fat head of Caitlin Clark put on my
wall. Yes. You know, I mean, that's the point. Why would you, why would she be worth, as the best player in the WNBA, she's worth less than the 12th guy on the bench of the team that won 10 games right. in the NBA?
Yes.
She's not as valuable as that guy. She's probably not as name recognizable as that guy.
Yeah. Now, we only have 10 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what is more valuable.
What is?
The extra content that you're going to get on Wednesdays here.
I'm going to say this. That segment we did last Wednesday was hysterical.
I agree.
I went back and listened to it at least five times.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to sign up.
You do.
Do we have that scroll thing anymore? Or no?
I am going to pull it up right now. Oh, pushed the wrong button here. It's somewhere here. Where is it? Well, maybe we don't. I'll have to make one real quick.
But sign up. It's $4.99 a month. I think, what, $50 for the year?
Yeah, $50 for the year, $4.99 a month.
Every Wednesday now, we will end the show like we normally do at 5:30. And then we will go to minds.com/Seth Williams Show.
Mm-hmm.
Minds, M-I-N-D-S, M-I-N-D-S, Minds. .com/Seth Williams Show.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue to do the show from 5:30 to 6 over there.
And not that we're super edited here, but we're going to be way less edited over there.
Yes. And it's extra content. So $4.99 a month is not that bad.
No, not for an extra segment a week.
Now, if you tried to sign up last week, the site didn't work.
Of course, which is why we made it free.
Which is why we did it free, but we're not doing it free anymore. So
that's right.
You have to sign up at Minds, M-I-N-D-S, .com/Seth Williams Show. You'll get an extra half hour of us every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so again, for $4.99 a month, not bad. Or and $50 for the year.
$50 for the year is the way to go.
You get cheaper. Yeah, it's a cheaper deal. Right. And we get paid more. That's good.
And I'm just going to say it this way. Fatty Fitness was hilarious.
Yes. If you
hilarious.
Miss, if you miss Fatty Fitness, can they still watch it if they sign up?
Ah, I don't know. I don't remember what I did with that.
Or do they have to go to the Supercast?
They could do Supercast as well, but let me go to Minds for now. Minds.com/Seth Williams Show. I won't mind. God damn it. I'm spelling it wrong.
Cancel my Odyssey. Yes, cancel your Odyssey. I will be getting rid of all those episodes, and that account is closed. We'll cancel that.
I believe you can watch it.
This is better than
the Odyssey. Odyssey. Yeah, it's definitely better than the Odyssey. Odyssey just wasn't right for us. No. This is much, much, much more gooder, much more better.
Much more gooder.
Yep, much more gooder.
We'll discuss the word gooder on the next episode.
That's right. It is on here somewhere. There it is, bonus segment. Yeah, it is available. Oh, no, it is under lock and key. I am sorry. It is locked up now. You cannot check out Fatty Fitness unless you subscribe now.
Unless you subscribe. But if you subscribe, you'll get to check it out.
Yeah.
And you should subscribe because it was the funniest thing ever. And right. It's an idea that I think we might run with eventually here.
I think we may. It was really funny.
Yeah, so it may be something worthwhile. So check it out. Minds, M-I-N-D-S, .com/Seth Williams Show.
Yes. Go over there, sign up.
It's on TikTok. Are we on TikTok? Is there some TikTok on Minds?
We have a TikTok, I think.
I know we have a TikTok. I don't.
I think it's just Seth Williams Show without an O in show.
It says Seth Williams Show, and then there's a TikTok link.
See, Scott got it. Scott got it.
What if I click on this link? What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, your computer died.
So there is an episode there.
Of what?
I don't know. There's a
video on TikTok?
Well, I don't know what it is.
All right.
But look, I mean, it says, hang on, Seth Williams Show.
At Seth Williams Show, there's a TikTok link, and then it's AOC talking.
Oh, all right. I don't know
why that's on our page. But
I'm sure she said something brilliant.
Oh, she was great.
She always does.
I think I sent you the video.
Maybe it's posted it.
Yeah, it's AOC talking. She's like, no means no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that video. Yeah.
And then it's a picture of Bill Cosby at the end of it. So check out minds.com/Seth Williams Show and sign up.
Rick signed up?
I don't know. I thought you signed up. www.minds.com/Seth Williams Show. It's on the scroll there, Habu, but.
minds.com/Seth Williams Show.
Yeah.
And then go to theSethWilliamsShow.com, theSethWilliamsShow.com.
Yeah, to get the daily regular updates.
And then to get the merchandise as well.
Yes, get yourself some merch, yourself a nice coffee cup, get yourself a nice hoodie. Or as we're getting into summer, get yourself a nice summer shirt.
I got to buy a jacket. One of those jackets I got to get.
Those jackets are pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, and you said I can get a deal, right?
Yeah, I can
get a deal.
I can get you a deal.
Oh, well. I need a deal because I'm too poor. Because nobody buys our shit.
The green feed bar. I wonder what that means. I don't even know what that means.
What?
He says he can't see the scroll because the green feed bar is there. I don't know what that means.
Well, go to MIND as a dog S.com/Seth Williams Show. You don't need to see the screen.
That's right.
What's a green feed bar? I don't even know what that is.
It must be something on Rumble. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Don't know, but whatever.
Minds.com/Seth Williams Show, and then go to theSethWilliamsShow.com. Get a cell phone case. Get a shower curtain.
That's right.
Get something. For God's sake, dude. Christmas is just around the corner.
The way we're raising money, we need every week to get there.
If you're looking for that special gift for somebody for Christmas,
that's right.
SethWilliamsShow.com.
That's right.
Or maybe there's a birthday coming up in between now and Christmas and you want to get somebody a birthday present.
Yeah.
Or a 4th of July present.
Or if you want to get Seth a jacket to celebrate his 2 years of Legiversary.
That too. Or if you want to buy something because you know I'm going on a fantabulous trip to SeaWorld and I need.
That's right.
My dream thing to get at SeaWorld is like a Shamu cup with a pop in it. And it's probably going to cost me like $35. So need to get some funds flowing.
Need to sell some merch.
That is true. Look, I'm too old to beg for anything. So I'm going to just ask politely. But if you're looking for a gift for somebody for this upcoming holiday season, even though it's still a few months away.
That's right.
Go to theSethWilliamsShow.com and get some.
That's right.
Your girlfriend, your mother-in-law will now love nothing more than a Seth Williams Show shower curtain. Sure. I guarantee you that.
I'm sure.
Now it sounds like I'm joking. Your girlfriend will look super hot wearing like the women's edition of the Seth Williams Show t-shirt or pajama pants or shorts.
Her silhouette in that shower naked with just the Seth Williams Show shadow logo on her.
Hell yeah.
Sounds hot to me.
Smoking hot. Yeah.
So hot.
Yes. In fact, I'll reimburse you $5 if you take a picture of your girlfriend behind the Seth Williams Show shower curtain. So we can see the silhouette.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right. Well, that's enough begging for the night.
Yeah, that's it. We're done.
Wednesday, we're going to have a MMA fighter on from here in Ohio.
Yes, I can't wait for that.
He is an up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he's lost yet.
That's good.
He's not in the big-time.
Dude, there's so many federations now. I mean, I don't know how aware you are of that, but there's so many federations. These guys can get their start in a lot of places.
Well, this guy is rocking it. Not hasn't lost yet. So we're going to talk to this guy, Anthony. Can't remember his last name.
Anthony M.
Anthony M. will be on the show on Wednesday, and we'll also have Tony Masaccio on the show.
Tony M.
Tony M. will be on the show as well. I think we've already seen his video from that, but that's all right. We'll have Tony on anyways.
That's right.
And so Wednesday's show will be packed, and then we'll do the extra segment at 5:30 to 6.
That's right.
If you sign up for minds.com, MINDS.com/Seth Williams Show.
Please sign up.
Please. For the love of God, I have mouths to feed in this house.
That's right.
Joe Biden just announced he's going to make the biggest tax hike in the history of taxes.
That's really
the middle class, the lower class, everybody.
Oh, good.
So not only is your money going to go to Ukraine and Israel, which I'm fine with, though, by the way.
Are you being serious?
Yes. It is going to be a tax plan that will literally bury us alive if he gets elected again.
Are you fucking kidding me with
this? He's letting all of Trump's tax cuts expire. And so if we get another 4 years of Biden, we shall be fucked. Now's the time to buy some shit on thesethwilliamshow.com.
Yeah, while you still can afford to.
While you can still afford to, and minds.com as well. So there you go.
Right. All right.
We'll talk about the taxes and everything else on Wednesday. Everybody have yourself a wonderful evening. Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Much thank appreciated. You. And thank you to Eric. No, Mark Ferrari as well.
Yeah he was fun, too. It's a good show.
All right, man.
All right, see ya.
We'll talk to you later.
What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Akin from Chris Akin Presents and the Seth Williams Show, and of course, the Classic Metal Show. And I know you need someone to be told something, right? Whether it's something nice, something not so nice. Maybe you need somebody fired and you just don't have the guts to do it. Maybe you need to tell your girlfriend to hit the pavement. Maybe you need to tell the boyfriend to hit the streets. Whatever it is, I got you covered. Right here with my Cameo, cameo.com/Chris Akin. I will tell them, and I won't be nice, unless you want me to be. If you want me to be nice about it, I will certainly give the sweetest message possible. But if you need evil with a lot of F-bombs and a lot of words that I just can't even say on any sort of radio or TV program, I'll do that for you too. One more time, cameo.com/Chris Akin. Buy a Cameo from me, and I will tell them like it is, the way you want them told. All right, see ya.